You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here, and I hope you're delighted to be here as well. I'm delighted you're here. And wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the first time tonight, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Welcome to the family. You need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter called the K-Files E-Zine, and you can subscribe to the K-Files E-Zine quickly, easily, and free. Simply go over to kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says K-Files E-Zine. You'll see it in red letters. And subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Every edition that comes to you will have a link in it that where you can unsubscribe if you want to. Most people never do. They stay with us forever. But no strings attached, all right? Quick bit of news here. You know, those of you who listen to the show, that we have a fan in Australia. We have lots of fans in Australia, thousands. But we have one that Skypes in and talks to me frequently by the name of Tony. Well, Tony has had a mild heart attack. I'm not really sure what a mild heart attack is. I think they're all serious. But he's been in the hospital. I think he might be at home now. I could be wrong about that. But I got an email from another one of our listeners in Australia telling me that Tony had a heart attack and was in the hospital and was asking for all of you to send prayers and healing energy his way. And I certainly agree with that. And Tony, we wish you all the best, my friend. We want you to get well and have a full, speedy recovery. Also, I want to take a moment and express my personal sympathies to the families of the four Boy Scouts that were killed last night at their camp in Iowa. Those of you who have been watching the news know that a tornado ripped through that camp and totally destroyed it. Four of those young men were killed. Three of them were from Omaha, or that is the report that I last heard. And we have an affiliate station there in Omaha, the Robin Valley Community Station. And let me just say to all of Omaha that my sympathies are certainly with those families and with the community. The fourth, was from Iowa, I believe, and my sympathies also with his family. Just a real tragedy. But, you know, those other Boy Scouts that were there have really shown themselves to be the outstanding young men you all thought they were. They were in a very, very remote area. It took a long time for rescuers to get to them. And during that period of time, those who were not injured took care of and triaged those who were injured and did exactly what they had been trained to do. real heroes at a very young age, and my hat is off to them. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, but we're going to focus on an update on this story out of Romania about a UFO, about four UFOs striking one of their jets. We'll be back with Dick Criswell right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. All the night. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Don't forget, those of you who have been listening, you know about this. Don't forget, I am exploring the idea of putting together a trip to Thailand for our listeners. And I'm talking to some pretty interesting people about some people that have been guests on this show about going with us. It looks like it may shape up. And I just need to hear from you if you are interested in going. Now, that doesn't mean that you're saying for sure you're going. It means you would like to go, and you want us to send you the information once we get it settled in, you need to send me an email. Go to our contact page and select the subject other, and it'll get to me, okay? And just say in the email, I'm interested in knowing more about the trip. I just need to know who's interested, okay? My guest this evening is Dick Criswell, and he's been with us many times before, and it is my expectation and hope that he will be with us many times yet in the future. Whenever something is afoot in the world, especially about UFOs, not only that, but especially that, and I want to know more information about it, he is the go-to man because he knows who to contact, and he's got the clearances to get the information. Dick Criswell, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I want to say a really get well, Tony. You'll be in our prayers, and all our IPAS members, I'm sure, will keep him in our prayers. He is a good speaker. I mean, I really get a kick out of him when he's on the air. So you get well there, buddy.
Yes, and I think probably most of our audience is familiar with Tony and would have similar, if not identical, sentiments. I think everyone remembers Michelle. And, you know, we just didn't know how much he meant to us until he was gone. And so, you know, we don't want to let an opportunity pass to say that you're important to us, Tony, and we want you to get well. Dick Criswell, I want to know if you know anything about this Romanian UFO story. The Romanian Defense Ministry, well, it hit the news wires last Friday that they released a report from the Romanian Defense Ministry that one of their jets had been struck by or had struck four UFOs, and it had been caught on the onboard cameras, and they had been studying this and investigating it since October 31st, 2007, and they had come to the conclusion that they simply don't know what it is. Now, do you have any further information on that?
I certainly do. When you called me and told me about what was going on, I went to work. As we do at IPAS, we check and check and recheck to find out what we can find out about different things going on in the world. I had to call in two favors, and those two guys told me some interesting things. Source number one, who is the naval commander that I talk about, told me that that's not the first time that that's happened over there, and he was wondering himself why it took 7 months to bring this to the forefront, because this original thing happened in October of 2007, and he couldn't figure out why that this wasn't, you know, news right now. Well, I come to find out from another source of mine that this is not the first time that that's happened to that that pilot, and it's rather strange that it would happen to the same pilot. But there are other pilots that that's happened to, and no reports. And my question was why, and he said, well, they got some kind of thing that they have to go through, like a think tank, to bring this forward to the world. And I said, well, you know, it takes that think tank too long. They need to shorten that that thing up. And he says, well, he said, you know, he said, it's kind of like Washington here. He said, a lot of things go in and it takes forever to come out. And I kind of have to agree with him that's the way our system works here.
Well, and I think it's that way with most governments around the world. You know, everyone along the way has to vet that information, and they have to check and see if it's going to embarrass them in any way. And if they sign off on it, it goes to the next level. And very few things actually, you know, make it to the light of day because of that system. Dick, listen, you know I used to be in East Timor. And
yes.
I was the acting chief of operations at times in East Timor. I was the deputy chief of operations, but the acting chief of operations on a number of occasions and for extended periods of time. And one of the things that I learned, well, I already knew it, but it just got reinforced, is that the situation reports coming up from the ground get whitewashed at every level. So that by the time they hit my desk, anything embarrassing to anyone is gone.
And I think that happens, in most nations.
Yeah.
They kind of tidy it up.
I think so. Now let's talk about this pilot. This is not the first time he's been rammed by UFOs.
No. Matter of fact, I guess a year before this, which would have been 2006, he had one just nicked the plane, and then he's had several different sightings of UFOs, and that never came out in that report either.
Was there any speculation? Did your sources have any thoughts about why this guy?
There was no speculation whatsoever. He just said that he just got lucky, I guess, if you want to call that luck. I wouldn't call that luck. I'd call that maybe a warning.
This guy might need to go get checked to see if he's chipped.
You know what? That thought came to mind. That nothing happens by accident. I'm sure you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, especially if you're up there flying around in a fighter jet, and four UFOs show up and collide with your jet, that's not an accident. Something's up there, and something's up definitely if it's happened to this same pilot before.
Yeah, I don't know whether this pilot has spoke out over there and we just haven't heard it, but. The naval commander basically told me, he said, if that happens once, that's kind of a rarity, but if it happens more than that, there's something big time up.
Now, he told you that that this has happened to several of their planes, and this is the first time it's been reported out to the public, right?
That's correct. That is correct.
Well, that does seem, it's a little frustrating, but it doesn't actually fit into the category of odd, because that's the way our government is, and that's the way, I guess, virtually all of the governments in the free world are. They just keep a lot of that stuff hush-hush.
Yeah, but some of them are coming forward now, Kevin, and I think that might be the trend. I talk a lot about this 2009, 2010. I think that's going to be when kind of everything breaks loose, landings, disclosure. I think there will be a lot of things on our plate then. Not that they're not on there now, but I think... 9 and 10 are, you tell people to fasten their seatbelts. That is going to be the years, 9 and 10, that we're going to find out a lot more than we do know now. And, we're honing in on it. We hope we play a big part in that. And, here at IPUS, we try to get the facts straight, and we want to get them out to the folks as soon as we get them.
Well, Dick, I've got a couple of things I want to say. One's a comment and one's a question. The calendar that we use is off. It was miscalculated, and it's off by 4 years. It starts purportedly with the date of the year of Christ's birth, Jesus' birth. And that's where we get B.C. and A.D., which is before Christ, and then Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. That's the calendar as we know it today. It's off by 4 years. And according to this calendar, once you adjust for the 4 years, Jesus was born in 4 B.C.
That is correct.
That being the case, are you aware of the fact that means this year right now is 2012?
Well, that's not according to the sources that I'm in touch with. They said just go by what you've got right now. This is 2008, and figure, well, you know, if we're at 2012 in their calendar, he said we got to go by what we know. And he said that the 2009, 2010 would be the years that we learn a lot more than we know now.
Well, and you've just answered inadvertently, but thank you, the question that I was going to ask, which is, you talk about 2009, 2010, and we've heard you say that before, and I wanted to know, you know, is that just your guesstimation, or do you have some information that that's going to be the case?
No, sir. That was given to me by a naval commander, and it was also given to me by a three-star that told me that that was the projection.
2009, 2010. So we're a year away from basically, I don't know if you'd call it full disclosure, but open display of extraterrestrials.
The way I got it in the memo that I got, that we would see landings, we would see aliens' presence, so there's no way that the powers that be can deny that there's something there.
Well, now, let me ask you, do you think they really want to deny it?
You know, when I was out at AlphaCom, there were some people that really wanted to get this out, but there was also an element there that they didn't want us to rock the boat, and that was very evident.
How did they make that evident?
You know, by stalking different individuals that were out at AlphaCom, they pulled tricks on me as well. They basically, you know, you hear about these black helicopters?
Yeah.
Well, one night, I was talking to Dr. Wolf, and I had a helicopter, and I didn't even hear it. My German Shepherd heard it above the house. And, I mean, this thing was right on top the roof.
How did you not hear it?
It was whisper mode. There was nothing. You know, like you hear the like that?
Yeah.
You know, with a helicopter? There was no sound on this helicopter. I swear to you. It was just... it was there. I seen the guy in his helmet when I looked out through the porch. I can look up and I could see him, and he was pulling this visor back down over himself, and he was listening to my conversation.
How do you know that?
Dr. Wolf told me that they have that technology to listen in on our conversations, and he said that was why he was there, just to listen to what we were going to say. And I said, well, you know, they can tap the phones. He said, yeah, but he said sometimes that's too evident. He said, and most people wouldn't even hurt him, but your dog heard something going on, and he alerted you to it. So I guess that's probably true.
Now, what type of helicopter was being used?
It looked like a Apache to me. Now, I'm not too up on helicopters, but it looked like some kind of Apache. But it had all kinds of different stuff on it. It had the you know, the thing that they can look over a hill with. That was on it. I mean, it was evident because I shined a light on him, and he took off like a bat out of hell.
Cockroaches normally run when the lights are turned on.
That's right. Well, I hit him with a 3 million power candlelight light, so I know I probably blinded him. He almost hit the house next to me.
I shouldn't laugh. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, just don't... we've heard about those black helicopters, and a lot of people just don't buy it. But, you know, Jeff Woolline, on his website, has a video of a black helicopter that came out to check him out and check out anomalies in the sky that he was videotaping, and it's up close and personal. He's got a very clear, up close video of that black helicopter.
I have that in my collection. Jeff did send that to me. I sent to a couple sources of mine, and he said, "Yeah, that's what they do." He said they go to check you out, and it's kind of an intimidation thing. And I want the listeners to listen to what I got to say here. For those who don't believe in black helicopters, I'm telling you, they're there. I have a brother-in-law who is a sheriff of a county here in Indiana. And I had told him about black helicopters and everything, and he told me, he says, "Oh, that's a bunch of bunk." Well, one day I got a call from him, and lo and behold, one landed in his area. And he said, "What's that all about?" He said, "My God," he said, "you're right." He said they were trying to buzz me. So, you know, here's a law enforcement officer that takes me serious now. And he said, "I've seen them black helicopters." And I actually got to see one up close and personal. One was out here, I'm trying to think what year it was. It was 2004 that one landed in an area on Rockville Road in Indianapolis. And they cordoned off that area, and I got my video camera out, and somebody come up to me and said, "Oh, no, we can't let you do that. That's high-tech stuff." And I said, "That's bull crap." I said, "You can let me do that." I said, "I'm a free citizen and everything." And this guy got to talking to me, and he just kept pushing me back to my car, and I never did get the video. I got a piece of it, but it wasn't what I call real clear.
A similar thing happened to me in the train station in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, when Milosevic was in power. I was going to take a video of some of the guys that were traveling with me, and oh no, indeed, I got to meet the police. But I was under the impression that we were in a free nation, and I didn't know that we were not allowed to videotape in this nation.
That's kind of some of the stuff I want to talk to you about later. You know, I've got a report tonight on something I think you'll be interested in.
All right. Well, we're a couple of minutes away from a break, and we'll get into that when we come back from the break. Let me ask you if you have noticed any additional UFO sightings that may be sort of connected with this Romanian thing.
I have some sightings, but these are the type that they have seen in Stevensville, the black triangle type craft.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the states were Minnesota. We had a couple reports in Florida. We had a report from, let me see if I can get my notes straight. We had one in Washington State, California, Tennessee, West Virginia, and New York. And these were all the types that they reported in Stevensville. So they're back, folks.
What's up with that?
I really don't know, Kevin. The only thing I can do is take the reports and take the people's statements and try to get one of our directors to check it out. And, you know, what's really strange about this, Kevin, is nobody has any video except one guy we know that has something on his cell phone, and that's Ricky Sorrows down there in Stevensville.
What's up with that? Why? What are people saying about why they're not taking videos?
You know, some of the people that I talk to say I didn't think to put my camera in my car or my video camera, and they were too interested in looking at the thing that they just did not record it. And I don't know whether, Kevin, I've thought about this, and it could be that they. A mental thought may come to them and say, you know, you don't need to do that or something. I really, really don't have an answer to that.
All right, we're into a break. We'll be back more with Dick Criswell right after this.
el silencio que te encuentre los recuerdos en los sueños y el dolor. La nostalgia que reanima tu figura sumergida en la amargura de un amor que se marchó. Buenos Aires, tus olores te delatan y tu música me mata en sinfonías de pasión. Y hacia alejar esos sueños que encontraron, esos sueños que viajaron como sombras de traición. Y no ves que desespero dibujándome en el tiempo, encontrando un equilibrio de ilusión. Y no ves que ya no puedo ser tu música y tu eco, que me mata la locura y el amor. Y no ves lo que yo veo en el centro de tus sueños, que se marchan ya buscando otro amor. Tus suspiros que envejecen, tus rencores que aparecen, necesito que comprendas mi dolor. Son tus calles, espejismo de locura, que descubren tu ternura en los tangos que escucho. Ya no llores, ya no manches tu figura, ilumina la amargura de la historia que pasó. Son tus varios caminitos de colores en un mundo de ilusiones en donde el tango creció. Hazte fuerte, que tu música y tu gente siempre buscan en tu suerte fantasías y esplendor. Y no ves que desespero dibujándome en el tiempo, encontrando un equilibrio de ilusión. Y no ves que ya no puedo ser tu música y tu eco, que me mata la locura y el amor. Y no ves lo que yo veo en el centro de tus sueños, que se marchen ya buscando otro amor. Suspiros que envejecen, tus rencores que aparecen, necesito que comprendas mi dolor. Yo extraño en tu figura esa música que ayer.
We're talking with Dick Criswell this evening, and as always, we will open the telephone lines for you in the second hour, all right? And those of you who have listened to the show more than twice know that that is our pattern. That's what we do. So in the second hour, we'll open the telephone lines for your calls, your comments, your questions. And let me give you the telephone number now. You can write it down and be ready to call when we get into the second hour. It is 1-800-289-1092. It's on the website if you forget it. Just open the page and scroll down. All right, Dick, when we went away, you were saying that maybe a thought gets transmitted to them that they don't need to take a picture.
Well, I'm thinking that because, you know, how many people have sighted these things and they're you know, they say, oh, I should have brought my camera out. That can't be happening at the rate it is, you know, without something going on there. So, you know, I take that pretty serious. That's just my way of thinking. That's not etched in stone, but that's from me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I stand corrected on Ricky Sorrows. One of my IPAS directors told me that it was a black a saucer, not a triangle.
Oh.
So I stand corrected.
All right.
So I wanted to clear that up.
Now, you said there was something else that you wanted to get into and wanted to update us on, and so the mic is yours. What is it?
Okay. All right. Well, we were talking to another director of ours down in Maryland, and he was telling me that there's a great big prison just across the way from him in, I think it's Coolport. Our connection was really... what I want to say, real scratchy and so forth, so I may have got the name wrong and maybe he'll call in tonight, but he's been checking this thing out in Virginia, and he's saying that this thing is huge, and the fences are facing inward to keep people in and not outward, and he said they're hiring a lot of people, and he said it's really hush-hush. So we got that report from him yesterday. And maybe
what would be the significance of that? I mean, there's prisons all over this country. I've even worked in some.
Well, there's some prisons being built for the New World Order to house these people, these dissenters. And he said that he thought that there were plenty of prisons there in Virginia, and he said he didn't know why this thing was going up, because this thing is huge. And he said, look, he said this thing is probably to house at least 100,000 people. And he said they're putting train tracks in and all kinds of stuff there. So that's to be looked at, and I can give an update later on about that.
Well, did he say who's building it?
He said it looks like, he said the people that are building it are not in like khaki uniforms or anything like that, but they're just regular people that they're hiring to do this. And I imagine it's probably federal money or whatever, but he's checking into that to see if he can tell me about that. But he said that he's seen these before, and we have one right here in Beech Grove, Indiana, that's an old railroad station that they took over, and they built a prison, and we don't need any more prisons. So, you know, what I can tell you, Kevin, is if you try to go in front of this thing, it says FEMA prison in front of this thing. I have video, and I can show you if you'd like.
And that's the one in Indiana?
Yep.
What about the one that you're telling us about, I believe you said, is in Virginia?
Yeah. He said there were no signs yet, and this guy that is our director was connected with the government, and he said, I've seen regular prisons, and I've seen prison camps built for other things, and he said this one is rather strange.
What would FEMA need a prison for?
That's under the New World Order, and they...
I thought FEMA was about, you know, bringing trailers to people when their houses get wiped out, and food and emergency response. I thought that's what FEMA is. Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Yeah, well, they do those type of things, but I can tell you that I have a FEMA COG agent that talks to me all the time, and FEMA is just not for tragedies. It's for, say you have riots and so forth, that they can take these people to these prisons, or say that you have, martial law. They can take these people to these prisons. So it's just not the emergency management for, and you see this on TV all the time, where FEMA is out there helping people try to restore their place back up and so forth. But they did a real bad job down there for the hurricane victims, because they had, I can show you pictures that they've got thousands and thousands of trailers just sitting there in Mississippi, and the reason that they're sitting there is because their answer is, well, we can't bring them into a flood zone. Now, you and I have paid for them things.
You can't bring them into a flood zone?
Yep, that's their answer. So some of these people never got any of these.
So how do you rescue people in a flood?
Do what now?
How would you rescue people then in a flood?
I don't have an answer for that, Kevin. I'm just telling you what I know and what I have seen. And these trailers were sent down there. Actually, most of them were built here in Indiana. Were sent down there to those people that were flooded out. And that's kind of stupid. There again, we're talking about a bureaucracy that has sent that there, and it kind of blew up in their face. Then their next answer was, we asked them, what are you going to do with those trailers? And they said, well, we know that there's going to be some tornadoes, and we know that there'll be some upheaval in the Midwest. Now, they've known that all ahead of time. Now, how did they know that, Kevin?
I don't know, Dick. Tell me.
Okay, because they know that this Project HAARP is firing up. You notice that the weather is not natural, correct?
Well, it's very abnormal.
Yeah.
It's been, over 100 years, I think, since there's been flooding anywhere approaching this, and this goes beyond the previous records. And I'm talking about the flooding that's taking place in Indiana and Iowa.
Yeah, that's correct. These people have not, as a matter of fact, I talked to a guy today that was flooded out, and he said he was in a flood zone, and he took out flood insurance, and his insurance agency will not pay him because there's some loopholes in that. Some people lived in areas where they would not give them flood insurance. So, I mean, this crap's happening all over. And you think you got problems now? You just wait. It's going to get worse.
Now, why do you say things are going to get worse?
Our government, okay, and I hate to say this, knows that some of these unnatural to me disasters are going to happen. And how they know that is because of this Project HAARP, HAARP, and it's fired up. And I was told by another agency today that the reason that this was fired up is because the Chinese were mad because they're getting our paper. They're not getting anything in return. So they have fired this up, and it's kind of like a war. I know that sounds crazy to you, but I'm telling you that it's a fact.
Well, HAARP, for those who are not familiar with the term, and I wish that I knew exactly what it stands for. It is the high amplitude.
No, it's high active aurora something or other research project.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It's located in Alaska. It is, I believe, at this point, run by the Office of Naval Research. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I think that's correct.
You are right. That's the one for here. But there are seven different types scattered out throughout the world that they use. And if you noticed, China said that weather will be great for the games. Now, how do they know that?
Well, I guess if they have one of these transmitters in under their thumb, maybe they're going to transmit great weather.
That is correct. The HAARP that was in Alaska, and I had talked to Nick Begage about this, he said that they can do weather patterns however they want. If they want a drought somewhere, they can direct that thing and make a drought. You won't get a drop of rain. If you need water, they can send plenty of water, and we're getting plenty of water now.
Well, why would they do that to our own country?
Glad you asked that question. The reason that they do that is to make people miserable and to get ready to knuckle down under the New World Order. They basically want to make people miserable. And they want to get you to say, you know, when they tell you that they need to do something, you'll buckle under just to get it done, because most people are wanting a handout over this stuff.
All right. Boy, I hate to break right here, but we have to. So we'll continue this. Man, when you throw a curveball, you throw a curveball. We got to talk about this. We'll be back with Dick Criswell right after this. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. And Dick, when we left for break, you were throwing extreme curveballs at me. Now, let me explain. It's not that I haven't heard these things before. It's that I haven't heard them from you before. And so that sort of puts raises an eyebrow and puts a little weight on this thing. When you say the New World Order, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Enlightened Ones, the Illuminati. And those people are the rich people of the earth. I'm talking about people like kings and queens. I'm talking about Tony Blair. I'm talking about George Bush, junior and senior. I'm talking about people like the Rothschilds, people like that. And for a long time, there was a lot of laughter factors in this because there were people like David Icke, Alex Jones, talking about this, and people were laughing at what they were telling them. Well, when both of them started showing them where they could go look for this, people now show up in droves when they have speeches and so forth, and it is not taken lightly. These people know that something's going on, and they want to do something about it. And I've been part of this movement for a while, but only quietly.
You're talking about the Bilderberger meetings and that sort of thing that Alex Jones reports on?
Yes, sir, I am. And that's the real deal, I'm telling you. Alex reports things. He double-checks things. David Icke, some of the things that he talks about I kind of question, but when he stays straight on the subject, he's great.
Well, you know, there have always been coalitions of very wealthy people in the history of the world. But when you talk about the New World Order, I mean, those very words are printed on the back of the dollar bill, printed in Latin. And so
Yeah. That's
been around for a very long time. Why now would they be making a move, and what would they gain from it?
They want to kill off, now, I know you're not going to believe this, they want to kill off two-thirds of the world's population so they control the people that are left, okay? These people don't need us anymore. They need power, and that's all they care about. They don't care whether we lose our jobs. They don't care whether what's going on now has been coming for some time. These people delve on a window of opportunity, and we're looking at the opportunity right now. These people will seize this. Before this happened, it was like a piece of the pie. They'd take a little piece here and a little piece there, and they figured, okay, nobody will catch on to them. I'm telling you now, and if they're listening, we're on to you big time, and it's not going to happen.
Well, Dick, let me make an observation, and from your point of view, play the devil's advocate. Now, you said they have a plan to kill off two-thirds of the world's population. Now, that's a lot of folks. That's a lot of people.
Well,
power is derived from population.
These people don't care, Kevin, it was a slip-up. Sorry.
That's all right.
These people don't care what we think. These people have been, they interbreed. They marry people that are in their social systems so that this thing can go on. I mean, this thing has been way back, and I researched this thing way back in history. I have told my folks about this, and they have laughed at me. And Kevin, right now, they have seen the facts that I have, and they said, damn, we wish we'd have known that sooner. Look how far this thing has come. And there's the folks that are eugenics out there that want us to have all these diseases, and that's why they want to kill you off. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I can paint you a picture. They have quietly took these police officers. They've hired tons of police officers, and you are a retired police officer. When I tell you this, you might say, well, why is that happening? They have taken these police officers, and they have told these police officers that they are going to have to inject people, and they better learn how to do this. And they are going to hold people against their will and give them injections that will kill them. I mean, I'm being serious with you.
Dick, I've heard these stories before. I'm going to continue to play the devil's advocate. I've heard these stories before. In fact, I've heard them for a long time. I've heard these stories back when I was a young cop. And I don't know very many cops that would go along with that.
Well, I'm hoping that you're correct.
I'll tell you, most of the cops I know and most of the military people I know are true blue American patriots and believe in the Constitution. And I cannot imagine, honestly, I cannot imagine that you would have very many cops that would go along with such orders. In fact, it's a law in 50 states that a police officer is bound by the law to refuse an illegal order.
Well, you better look again, because they're tasing the hell out of these people out here. And what I'm hearing, I'm checking into some of these police officers, and I'm hearing that that's departmental rules now, and they can't get in trouble for doing that. But what I say to you is, why are they doing that after they have a person in custody and is in their control? Now, you tell me why.
Well, that is illegal for them to do that. And I can tell you that once you have a person in custody, let's say that that I make a traffic stop that turns into a fight. That's not all that uncommon. It happens every day in this country. So it turns into a fight. Now, while I am under attack as a police officer and this person is resisting, there are seven levels of force that can be used, from the very minor to the very severe, up to and including fatal force. But the person's actions determine which level it's legal for me to use. Now, as long as we're fighting, I can hit him. I can, you know, he's trying to hit me. He's trying to grab for my gun. At that point, then I can use fatal force. You know, as long as the fight's going on. But once I have this guy in custody, I have the handcuffs on him. Or if he lays down on the ground and says, "I give up, it's over," the very next time I hit him, it's a felony. It's a violation of his constitutional rights. It was legal 1 second before, but 1 second after this person is subdued, it is illegal.
I go along with you 100% there. If all officers in the United States and the world would do that, that would be fine. But I actually see these, you know, and I know that there can be some video changes because I'm in the video business myself. But, you know, when you see a person that gives up, is handcuffed, and I've seen this on TV, and I know others out there have seen this, and he is not cussing them, he's not...
Oh, he can cuss them all he wants to. It's freedom of speech.
Well, I understand. But, you know, there are some officers that, you know, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen right here in my town. But the point of it is when you're in custody, you shouldn't have to tase somebody just because you think that's right. And I've talked to the sheriff's department in Marion County here, and they said that's policy. They can do anything they want. And I said that's criminal.
It is criminal. It is criminal. And if that is what they are doing, sooner or later we're going to know about them just as well as we knew about the cops that did Rodney King. Because it is criminal. Once the person gives up, he has given up, and you have to cease your use of force. When we come back, I'm going to give you a very quick definition of the difference between violence and force, and it is a legal definition. We'll be back right after this.
Some days I've been wrong, And I've been untrue, but I'm giving and living and loving for you. Anytime at all. Sometimes the world's gray and rain tumbles through, but behind the storm
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. Dick, are you still with me?
Yes, I am, but I wasn't hearing anything on my end here, and I want to update you on something that I was told during the break.
All right.
There is a show out in, I guess it's L.A., that's not even putting this on. They have blocked you out because of the subject.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry they did that. You know, it is what it is. The thing that interests me about this, I mean, I hear the stories. I've read them for years. Even before there was a FEMA, these stories were out there. And I'm not saying that they're not true. I am saying that this is not new stuff, and people should have come across this information already, but I find it very, very, very difficult to believe that there would be very many police officers that would participate.
And I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I think you're correct, and it would be nuts that they would. But, Kevin, there are video after video of people being tasered after they were in custody, and they showed the whole thing. They said this is in its entirety, and they said this person got tasered, and guess what? The next day he quits his job. I mean, they don't want this stuff out. But, with as many cameras that are out there, they catch them red-handed.
Well, in any organization, there are people that are rogues. And that would be true in virtually every police department around the country. Well, I wouldn't say virtually every police department, but in a lot of police departments, you will have rogues. You have, I call them Billy Badass with a badge. They think the badge somehow makes them Superman. And I never forget my first job as a cop. Well, my second job as a cop was with the sheriff's office in Monroe, Louisiana. And I never will forget what Sheriff Layman Godwin said to me, and he said it to every new deputy. Son, that badge will not make you invincible, but it can get you killed. And then he went on with his speech to tell us, you treat people like you would want to be treated if you were being talked to by a cop. And, most cops understand that. Most cops understand that badge is an awesome responsibility. It does not make them Superman, and it does not make them above the law. There are rogues. And I have known some. And eventually, they make a habit of crossing the line, and eventually they cross and cannot get back, and they're caught. Now, the thing that has to happen is citizens have to be citizens and understand that the police are your employees, not your ruler. The police are your employees. However, we corporately have invested them with some authority and have told them that in our behalf, they have the authority to do certain things. And but it's up to us to watch that. It's up to us as owners of the government. And, if we as owners of the government aren't doing our jobs, then we have nobody to blame but us. When you see these things happen, you see these videos, the people in that community where it happened have a responsibility to see that that police officer is, first of all, no longer a police officer, and secondly, gets prosecuted.
I agree with you, Kevin, but what I'm seeing here is not, and I mean, I've seen it in different places, is not your average police officer. These police officers now are wanting to wear all black with no insignias and everything, they said that is basically the reason they're wearing black is to intimidate us citizens. Now, I have talked to the Marion County, one of the Marion County deputies that's in Indianapolis, and I told him, I said, what's your policy on tasing people? And he said, well, it's departmental things, so we can do anything we want. And I said, well, if that's the case, you ought to be behind bars. And the other case is, if we see you doing that, and you probably need help from one of us citizens, we'll probably let them beat the hell out of you. And he said, I see your point.
Well, and most of them do see the point. They really do. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. I'm calling representing IPUS.
All right.
Yes, I have to report that we had another UFO sighting here last night.
You called in and left a message, and I heard that, and I was pretty excited and hoped that you would call in with it. Tell us about it.
Well, I was actually working last night also. I was working on delivery last night, but somebody called me just before midnight. There was said there's something weird flying over the mill in. Knowing that I'm the, of course, like back in February, they know that I'm the UFO guy. I went out and checked it, and there was an object hovering over the mill. It was going, just going pretty much left and right over the town. And from where it was pretty high up in the sky, but you could clearly see that it was a saucer, very clearly.
Did you get pictures of it?
I did take pictures of it. I don't know how they're going to develop because it was at nighttime, so. But we have some UFO activity here again, and going to keep watching the skies to make sure, see if there's any. Well, I can't really watch the skies tonight. It's cloudy, but then again, that doesn't really mean anything if they come below the clouds. But I'm still keeping an eye out. The thing was stayed up there for quite a few hours last night. I went to check back. I think just right after Coast to Coast AM last night, I went and looked out, and it was gone. So.
Maybe it just came long enough so they could listen to Coast to Coast. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. But it was about 5 o'clock in the morning when I went to look out again. I have a bad habit of staying up all night.
Yeah.
But I also want to touch on what you guys have been talking about with the New World Order. I've done extensive research on the plan of the world elites and that, and I'm telling you, man, what Dick has been saying is real, man. I've been seeing signs all over the place, especially when it comes to, well, the way I'm looking at it is that you want to control the people from being able to run away from them, from being able to travel. So what do you do? You jack up the gas prices. The common people won't be able to afford to travel. Second of all, if you control the food, you control the people, hence the ever-rising food prices. Because there are some parents, because when their parents get desperate to feed their kids, they will do anything. And if it means submitting to those who are in absolute power to be able to feed their kids, they will do it. Eventually, they won't be able to afford the food. So if they want food to feed their kids, they got to submit. And that's exactly what they're planning on doing. And speaking of the FEMA camps, I was told a few months ago that there was, well, it's not, wouldn't be called FEMA up here, but there is a camp about four and a half to five hour drive northwest of here, just west of Hearst, Ontario. And I had somebody, I've been asking people in the Hearst, Ontario area if they've noticed anything, and they said they've seen quite a high number of government vehicles going from out of Hearst, Ontario towards Long Lac, Ontario, which is along the route between Hearst and Long Lac, is on the route where that supposed FEMA camp is up here in northern Ontario. So we have those FEMA camps are real. They're being built everywhere. I've heard people telling me about there's about three of them in British Columbia, and all throughout the prairies. There's also one in Quebec.
Well, I'm not surprised. But I don't fear it. Do you fear it?
Well, do I fear it? I just fear that I'm going to be one of the two-thirds of the people that I don't think that the world elite really want. Because I have a feeling that they only want that the people that they're going to keep alive, because you think that the world elite, the richest people in the world, want to get dirty on farms and in mines and whatnot, because these people still have to eat. These people still want all their jewelry and that, and their gold and jewels and whatnot. So they need to keep some people alive to be able to work. And I think that's the 10% of the people that they're going to keep alive, is the people that are going to be slave workers. And they need slave workers that are also going to be breeding stock. So
That's what I want to be. Yeah, I want that job.
But you won't have.
Where can I sign up?
Well, the thing is that for those that don't want to accept the New World Order, they're also going to be part of the people that are going to be killed off. And you know what? I won't accept the chip. I'm not going to be a slave. So I don't think they'll want me, because I'll fight them. I'll fight them tooth and nail.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you for the call. And man, I wish you the best. Stay away from that camp up there.
I'm going to go maybe stake it out if I get the money to travel up there.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You be careful.
Good for you. You hang in there, buddy.
You know, I'm not making light of it. You know me, Dick. I'm not making light of the idea. I think it's serious stuff. On the other hand, I think, you know, if I'm part of the two-thirds that if they're successful in their plan and they want to wipe us out, if that's a reality and I'm part of it, well, I guess it's time to go. You know, I don't know what I could possibly do that would keep me from being part of that if I've been determined to be part of it. Let's go back to the phone line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, is this Kevin?
It is indeed. You're on the air.
This is Phil from Toronto.
I'm sorry, this is Phil?
This is Phil from Toronto.
Yes.
I managed to call you this time.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Criswell. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I wanted to talk about the Alex Jones film Endgame. I just happened to watch it last week. And I was thinking, of course, the movie enraged me a little bit, but I wanted to play devil's advocate like what Kevin is doing today. And maybe I think I understand why the people in power think that they're right in what they're doing. Could I explain?
Yes.
Okay. What I think is, when you think about it, at the end of the day, maybe what they're trying to do is maybe they're trying to help the people all over the world. You see, their population right now is too high. Maybe they're trying to bring the population down to a manageable level, which is better for everyone else. Okay? Let me give you a hypothetical situation. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Say that in some part of the country, there are 1,000 newborn babies, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And through some circumstance, those 1,000 newborn babies have been afflicted with some real disease which can spread very easily, all right?
Okay.
And the only way to get to control disease or to eradicate the disease is to kill the newborn babies. Would you agree for that?
I would not agree to it. No.
No, it's a new disease which cannot be eradicated, and it would spread real fast.
No, you can quarantine the area.
No, I'm saying that there is no way you can get rid of it. I'm not condoning the action. Mm-hmm. All I'm trying to say is this: I'm not condoning the action of the people in power right now. Absolutely not. I'm a father of a newborn baby. I value life. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is this. Before we get enraged, we have to look at the situation in a very, very different way. All right? Maybe what they're trying to do is to get rid of 1,000 to help 1,000,000. Maybe they're trying to do something like that. I don't know. I'm not condoning that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Okay? But what I think is that, and when you look at it, see, I come from a country where the population is very high. All right? I'm basically from India. The population is very high. It is totally unmanageable. Okay? 60% of the people in the city of Mumbai live in slums. All right? You should see the condition, the way people live. The government, no matter what they say, you cannot provide for that many people. You get what I'm trying to say?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so when the population hits a point of no return, maybe there is no other way you can provide for everyone. Maybe that's what the people in power are trying to think. I don't know. That's just what I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm not condoning that action. I'm just trying to see why would the people in power think in that way.
Well, I certainly can see, from the point of view that you're expressing. I certainly can see that would be a concern, and it is. We know that world population is a major concern, even of the United Nations.
Yeah.
And so, it's a major thing.
Okay, and also, you have to provide food for everyone. There are droughts happening right now in California. There are droughts happening all over the world. There's a water problem. As I've read some articles where future wars will be fought over water. All right? You get what I'm trying to say?
Uh-huh.
There are so many things happening around the world right now. You have to meet the needs of everyone. Everyone deserves, everyone wants to eat chicken, everyone wants to eat fresh tomatoes, everyone wants to eat beef, everyone wants to eat, how do you provide this food for everyone? How do you provide on the spot, how do you provide for 6 billion people? It's not easy. You get
well, yeah, it's not only not easy, it's actually impossible.
Impossible. Like, I'll bring down that to a smaller scale. Recently in a supermarket, a big, you know, box store supermarket, there was a sale on bread, all right? Buy one, get one free, all right? My wife and I went to buy that bread. There was a huge crowd just to buy a simple thing as bread. And they were actually arguing with each other. I want that, I want that, I want that. People were screaming, why are so many people coming? Now, if in a situation where everything, civilization is existing normally, they are fighting over a simple thing as bread. When civilization breaks down, how is everyone going to survive? They are going to kill each other. And the power, the people in powers that be are just going to sit back and see.
You bring up some excellent points, and I certainly agree that when the structures break down, most people are not going to be able to handle it, and there will be chaos. Not there might be, there will be chaos. I know people very well, and I know us. And there will be chaos. I want to thank you for the call. I do have to move on. We have other callers waiting. But what an excellent insight. Yeah, I think these are some of the heavy issues, Dick, that the world leaders have to face. And maybe they're not coming up with the right solutions or the solutions we like, but I think they have to face these things.
Well, I think that caller was nice. He brought up a lot of points. I don't think he's actually, you know, he brought up the fact Endgame. I've seen Endgame. And I'm going to tell you that that movie, it brings up a lot of facts. I mean, Alex has done a yeoman's job on that movie. And I'm going to tell you, I would hope that this guy would be right, but all indications, and I repeat, all indications that I have, your government ain't going to help you. They're going to be against you. So you got to take some kind of action. Now, I am a guy that doesn't believe in hostility. You know me, Kevin. But, you know, when you see that it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, by God, it's a duck.
Well, it may be. But when you say take some kind of action, I would hope that you're not saying that that you are in favor of some type of hostilities.
No, that no, and I, get me straight from here. I don't advocate somebody going out and taking a hostile action against somebody. But if it comes to you, you better be ready. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Yeah, Trey.
Man, y'all talking about some good stuff tonight. I think the last caller was talking about decisions that are made, you know, pending the, you know, survival of the human race kind of stuff is what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask Mr. Criswell if he knows anything, has it ever heard any information about a base, I believe it's underground or in a mountain. It's got several levels in which supposedly we only control three or four or something. It's called Dulce, D-U-L-C-E-E, I believe.
Yes, I do know about that. I do know about that base, and that base is actually controlled by the U.S. There was a fight between alien forces in there, and I think the number that I heard that was lost of our people was like 148 or something like that.
Yeah.
But that base does exist.
And I wanted to ask y'all this. I've always looked at this, all the information we hear, and you have, you know, the New World Order or the Illuminati, I always considered, and then you have the Masons. And I want to ask you, if you know anything about them, or Kevin, where does the Masons fit in this plan? Because I just haven't come to the conclusion that the Masons and the Illuminati and the New World Order are the same people. I thought the New World Order and Illuminati are the same thing, George Soros type who doesn't want to have an economy, crash economies, and then you have the Masons who started our country. And I don't see them and the New World Order possibly being the same group. Do you know anything about that?
Trey, I can speak to that. The Masons are taking a blunt end of this thing. I can tell you this. My father's a 32nd degree. I've asked him about this stuff. My grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason, and he doesn't know anything about that. But they both told me that there could be a hierarchy that they don't know anything about. And that's what we're talking about, that element that's 33rd and above. I understand there's more to that. So what I'm saying is they pick and choose who they want on this this elite group of Masons. And I'm telling you, buddy, you got to have some money to be in that group.
Well, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out, and maybe, you know, the relocation is going to help. Maybe the relocation is going to come sooner than we think, or maybe not. You know, I don't see where the number of the beast is going to fit in all this. But if it's, you know, a credit card number, or if it's that national ID number we're all supposed to have here in a couple of years, do y'all think the number of the beast thing is that national ID number? Because I do remember hearing one guest on Kevin's show, and he said the only time he ever heard the numbers 666 mentioned, it was it mentioned 666 gold pieces. And so, you know, you have that, but then you have everybody taking a certain number to be able to buy food. Well, that sounds like a credit card, or supposedly a national ID card, which you'll need to buy anything.
It'll be a chip in your right hand or in your forehead.
That's correct. And I'm telling you, this group that does this, they want to control you from cradle to grave. I can tell you that. Now, I'm not talking fairy tales tonight. I'm sorry. I took off the gloves for this thing because it's too serious of an item to let go.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying it won't happen. What I'm saying is that whatever is going to be is going to be. And it's beyond my pay grade to be able to change it. Now, that means, you know, you can stand on the beach and shake your fist at the oncoming tsunami, or you can get your surfboard and ride the wave. And, you know, if we have an incoming tsunami, I suggest you get a surfboard.
Well, I guess to control the food, for this to happen, you would seem like some disaster, natural catastrophe, something would have to happen. And then, you know, if there was a flood, well, then you'd only have so much farmland left. But if there was not a flood, if it was just a group of people taking control of the country randomly or organized, well, then they would have to go take control of the rural lands where all the farmland is, and, you know, and the Midwest and, you know, some places, Louisiana,
hey, Trey,
and down, you know.
Trey, can I interject something here?
Sure.
It's happening right now here in Indiana. I mean, we're the food belt. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff comes from Indiana that we do agriculturally. And I'm telling you, it's happening right here. They have planted all their crops, and it's been totally ruined. I mean, everywhere in Indiana. There's not a place here. So you talk about a catastrophe. You wait till you try to buy food probably later on in the year. You think it's bad now, you better hold on.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, because a lot of people really don't like it when I mention things like this. But in that old book of Revelation that, you know, a lot of people just run from it because they think it's all just religious nonsense. It says we're going to get to the point where inflation will take us to the point where you'll work all day just to be able to buy a quart of wheat. We're in a break. We'll be right back.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back. Boy, this one took a turn in a direction I didn't expect. I can't say that I'm sorry. It is totally fascinating and interesting and important, but certainly a different direction than we started in. We have a caller on hold. Let me say this. We had some problems getting Skype to open and to work correctly. It is now working, so if you've been trying to Skype in, it is now working, all right? Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
I had a question for Dick that I've always been wanting to ask. I've never had a chance to ask him, so I figured I'd ask him now.
All right.
Dick, I remember you talked about you were with the AlphaCom that you had a four-way telephone call with Clinton and Gore. Can you tell us, like, I was wondering, can you tell us, like, some of the things that they were talking about or what they were curious about when you had that conversation? I just thought it was kind of interesting that you had a chance to... would you be able to tell some of the things that they told you or talked about, or had they seen a UFO before or anything?
Yes, I can talk to some of that, and thanks for asking. When I was on this four-way conversation, my part of this was more or less kind of like a listening post, but I did bring up some things. They were aware of, and I can say this without any conviction, they were aware of the Roswell incident. And what burns me up more than anything is Clinton said, you know, I checked into that Roswell thing in 1948 and it's a hoax. You know, I'm sorry.
He said that during the conversation you had?
No. He said this year. I think I've got a audio on it this year. It was either this year or last year.
Uh-huh.
And he said he brought up the fact that he thought it was in 1948 and it was actually 1947, and he knew better than that.
Yeah, I was on a radio show.
Yeah, it was on. I can't remember what the show was now.
Then he said, well, there's a planet out there with life on it, and he said something about that too.
Yeah, and he knows about that too, because we talked about that. And let's see, I'm trying to think some of the things. They were more interested in finding out who they were, where they came from, and what they wanted, because they were under the impression that they were at a loss to find out what was really going on. And that was some of my sole job, to find out who they were, what they wanted, and where they come from. Now, I nailed down a lot of stuff, because you got to realize there are a lot of department agencies out there that collect info on UFOs and aliens, and I don't care whether they say they don't collect it. They are very interested in it, because they know for a fact that they can't shut them down. If they wanted to come here, they could come, and there would be no stopping them, okay? Now, there's some groups they could stop, but they're few and far between, because their technology is, shall I say, stealth and beyond. And some of the things that Mr. Gore was interested in is, do you think they're going to land soon? You know, and we had no way of.
I had one more question.
Sure.
I was reading some of Dr. Michael Wolff's stuff on the internet, and he was, and some of the things that the paperwork or some of the articles that he wrote and stuff like that. And one of the things that I found interesting was what he said about the dolphins. How he said that the dolphins were relatives, possibly, to some of the extraterrestrials, and the skin was even similar, and that the dolphins are much more intelligent than we could even give them credit for. That a lot of autistic children, when autistic children are put into treatment with dolphins, on a long-term basis, it's like a miracle. They become so much. I just think they're much more intelligent than what we give them credit for.
All right. Well, let's see what Dick has to say about it.
Okay, I can speak to that. A dolphin skin feels something similar to the grays, and I can speak to that because I had an incident when I was 6 years old to meet two grays, and the skin is very much like it. When you touch the dolphin, and I have actually been to Orlando where I could have, interact with the dolphins, and I found that there is a connection there, and, if you touch them long enough, thoughts come to you. Now, whether that's you thinking or whatever, but it's very interesting, and yes, they're very intelligent beyond what people say about them.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. It is toll-free throughout all of the USA and Canada. So if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to pick up that phone and make a toll-free call. I pay for the call. In fact, I just paid for it today. One of the things, Dick, that I think is important, and we really need to point this out. Whenever we say the government, whether we're talking about UFOs or we're talking about this end game or any of that, when we say the government, at least in this country, is comprised of hundreds of thousands, if not a few million people that work in the government. Some of those people are your contacts, and they see a plan afoot, and they want to tell you about it. So what we really need to focus on is that this is not monolithic, and that there are some good guys in all of this. And we don't need to just paint with a very broad brush and paint everybody with the same color, because they're not. There are some people that are really, really the good guys, and they happen to work for the government. And there's a lot of them. So there's some hope in all of this. Let's go to Skype and then to our telephone. So let's see here. Press that button. Yes. All right, Skype, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi, Kevin. It's Andrew from Australia, buddy.
Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, interesting show tonight. Dick, mate, I applaud you for bringing up this New World Order stuff. I've done some investigating myself. There's things that are going on that aren't quite the norm. Anyone who's interested in following up a little bit, the Georgia Guidestones, the message on that is quite revealing. To keep the world population at 500 million, that's a real slap in the face. The Iron Mountain report, that was also interesting reading. And I've got some stuff here with Dr. Maurice Hilleman saying that the SV40 cancer virus was placed in vaccines. I'd like your comment on that, Dick, if you could. And before you answer that, I'd like to say my thoughts and prayers go out to you, Tony. Get well soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. And we'll let Dick answer. If you will, listen online, and he'll answer for you. Thanks for the call from Australia. All right, Dick, what about that?
I never heard it. It never come across to me.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name? Aha. Uh-huh. Guess we'll have to block that number, too. You got to know, folks, if you call in and do that to me, I will pull up the call records, and I will block you for a period of time. We put you on hold. Have the courtesy to stay there, all right? And we'll get to you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Eric from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, Eric from Atlanta, Georgia. What's on your mind this evening?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Dick. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm doing good.
Hey, I'm the IPIS Atlanta director for Dick Criswell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that he had touched upon Ricky Sorrells having new footage, and just talked to him the other day. He said that in broad daylight he's caught some black saucer-shaped UFOs on a cell phone, which I'm trying to get him to send me. So as soon as I do, I'm going to try to get those up on YouTube. And also, Dick, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the piece of metal that you've come into possession of.
All right. I'll tell you what, we've got a break coming up.
Okay.
And so, Eric, thank you for the call. Dick, right after the break, we'll talk about that piece of metal.
Okay.
And actually, it looks a whole lot like the stuff that they picked up from that that exploding UFO over in Vietnam. It looks a lot like it. So we'll talk about that when we come back from this break. All right, folks, we're headed off into a break, and when we come back, we will be on Final Approach, and we'll get Dick Criswell to talk about that metal. I have a piece of it. He sent it to me. We'll be back.
Rain, I can polish
Steel Eye Media Network, is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Forget to send me your email if you are interested in more information about our sort of planned trip to Thailand. At this point, it's exploratory, but it looks like it's going to kind of firm up that direction, all right? So don't forget to send it to me. Go to our contact page, click on, you just click on Contact Us. It's on the menu. And just click on that, and then when you get the contact page open, you'll notice there's a place for you to select the subject, select other, and send me an email telling me that you are interested in further information, if you are interested in further information. All right, Dick, we have just a little bit of time left here, and one of the things that we need to do is we need to address that question. What about that metal?
Okay, I received this Phoenix agent that I told you.
Oh, man, you're breaking up something fierce now.
Okay.
Somebody doesn't want you to tell us about it. I think that's the case.
Okay, wait a minute. Switch another phone here and see if it's the same.
Okay. All right, tell you what we're going to do. Let's hang up, and I will call you right back, and we'll see what happens. All right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to just hang up and call Mr. Criswell right back and see if, in fact, we have a better connection. All right. Let's see. Let me push all the right buttons in the right order here. And here we go. Buttons. Are you back with me? Oh, it's still ringing. All right. He has a piece of metal that, I'll let him tell you. Dick, are you back with me?
Yes, I am. Is that any better?
That is a little bit better.
Okay. I noticed it on my end. There was something going on. I don't know what it is, but usually when I talk about hot stuff, that's what happens. But that's my life. In 1998, I was given a call by the FEMA COG agent that I talk about, and he told me that I better get my little rear end up to Muncie, Indiana. And lo and behold, I get up there and I take a team up there, and of course the people were scared. They knew I was coming. They were alerted. They said that these people told them that somebody was coming and don't tell them nothing. Well, I won a couple people's confidence, and I told them that I knew that this stuff goes on. This guy said that the saucer came down, and it was a saucer. They said about maybe 21 feet. And it came down in this field that he had and broke apart. I don't know how much apart it was because we didn't really get into details like that. And they had this crashed saucer team, no insignias, nothing, just khaki uniforms, come out there with bulldozers and kind of scraped up this thing. They put topsoil down probably 6 to 9 inches, and they carted the saucer away. And my team, now that bear in mind, this was 2 days before I got there because I had kind of a little lull in time because I had things to tie up here. I was on another investigation, but I figured since this was a saucer that had crashed, I wanted to be involved. So my team and I walked through this topsoil, probably 6 to 9 inches of soil, and lo and behold, at the end of this, there were some trees to the northeast,
And I reached down, and this piece of metal was sticking up about 2 inches out of the ground. And I'm thinking, maybe this is a setup. I don't know. But I had my Geiger counter and so forth, and I wanted to make sure it was not hot. And sure enough, it was not. But it ticked a little bit, but it was not hot enough to bother me. I pulled this out. This piece that I had was 8 inches by 6 inches thick, light as a feather. When you looked at it, it has a silverish gray look to it. Under electron microscope, the Dr. Wolf and some of the others, we had 4 independent labs look at this metal. Probably, I think they looked at that one probably 90-91. I sat on this for a little bit, and they said that the lab said that all 4 of these independent labs said basically the same thing. It was 99% silicon, and it was 1% they didn't know what it was, and the question was, where in the hell did I get it? And there was a little comment down below that says that the silicon does not occur on Earth at 99%. And then they didn't know what the rest of it was, but I'm telling you, this thing is stunning because it will do health things like you would not believe. It'll take headaches away. Dr. Wolf was using it for his cancer. He went to the doctor after he was drinking this stuff about, he put this metal in the water and was drinking off of it. In 2 weeks, all his tumors had been gone. And the doctor said, what have you been doing for this? And he says, I'm not going to comment on that. So that's pretty much as I know it. And I sent Kevin Smith a piece of it, and he looked at it. And I think he's pretty impressed with it. Are you, Kevin?
Yeah, I am. And let me say, I have it locked away in a safe place now.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So anyone interested in rummaging through my stuff to find it will not find it. It's not here.
And I might say that I've given enough pieces out there that if they would take what I have, they're still out there. And that was my intent.
Well, I know that it looks very, very much like the pictures we saw of the pieces of stuff they picked up in Vietnam last week. No, 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, where there was a UFO that exploded over an island off the coast of Vietnam.
And you had commented to me that looks awful lot like what you got.
It does. Don't you think it does?
I certainly do think it is.
Yeah, it looks very, very similar. And I read a report on the Internet that said that they have analyzed it and it isn't metal. That it is mainly biological composition.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's kind of a weird thing. Listen,
right.
We are right up on the end of the show. I want to thank you for being with us, curveballs and all. It has been interesting. And,
can I say one thing?
You have to do it quick.
Okay. Website, IPUSnetwork.com. Come up there. We want you to hear some of these things, and if you give us your email, we'll put you on our list. So, like I said, we're looking for members, we're looking for directors, so come see us.
All right, IPUSnetwork.com. You heard it, Dick Criswell. Stay on the line with me for a moment, if you will, Dick. Tomorrow night, now we have... ventured into areas that I did not expect. But that's one of the things that I like about being a talk show host. You never know what's coming. And I think it's pretty interesting stuff, too, and important stuff. Tomorrow night is going to be Open Line Live. Some of you, I know we had tons of calls. As a matter of fact, we had 148 calls, and you could not all get in. I know that. Tomorrow night, take another shot at it, all right? It's Open Line Live tomorrow night. And if something came up tonight that you want to talk about, well, we'll be doing it again tomorrow night, maybe, if that's what you want to talk about. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.